And Mazal Tov, it's a very exciting time of your lives, and we're so happy that so many mothers came out to celebrate and to learn together. Rosh Chodesh Iyar is a month with a very special blessing in it. If you look in source number 3, we'll come back to it in a sec. We'll come back to the first sources in a moment. It is written in the Sfarim, a number of different Hasidic writings, that the month of Iyar is Mesugal for healing and refuah. It's a month that is, the blessing of the month of Iyar is for refuah shlema, more than any other months. For it was the month that the man began to fall. The man was called Lechem Abirim, and no sickness came about through its consumption. And it started to fall in the month of Iyar. Henceforth, Iyar became known as the month that is Mesugal for healing. A different remez in the word Iyar is Aleph Ani Hashem Rofecha. I am the Lord, your healer. I, the Lord, heal you, and we should be Zoche. This month should be a month of healing, a month of refuah. On personal levels, family, and of course, all of Am Yisrael, as we head into the week of Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzma'ut, it's maybe apropos that the month of Iyar and these different events that we mark on our calendar are falling in this month. And I want to speak about the relationship between the month of Iyar and this time of the year that we're going through, both in a historical sense and also in our own modern day, the modern day miracle of the birth of the State of Israel. So I titled this year The Audacity of Hakamat HaMedina, or The Chutzpah of Hakamat HaMedina. And we'll try to journey back a little bit into history, into different moments in history that took place in this month. Try to understand a little bit about what it is that we're actually celebrating, what it is that we're actually marking on our calendars this week and in the coming weeks. There's a story about Saba Yosef. Saba Yosef was a Holocaust survivor, moved to Israel after the war, and Saba Yosef was a center of his community. People came to him for advice, people came to him for ideas, for experience, to learn history, to hear his story. And many people would ask him all the time, what was the hardest day of your experience in the war? And he would always brush them off and push them off and say, you'll never understand. Even if I give you an answer, you'll never be able to understand. And he wouldn't answer. Until one moment that he did answer, and I want to leave the answer to this question for a little bit later. But anyone here who's a child of a survivor, a grandchild of a survivor, or has heard stories of survivors, will identify with that type of question. What was the hardest or most difficult moment? We'll put that on the back burner for a few moments. On Yom HaTzma'ut, we're going to read a Haftarah. There's no special Kriyat HaTorah on Yom HaTzma'ut, but there's a Haftarah that's read in many shuls that mark Yom HaTzma'ut in a public sense. And the Haftarah, ironically, is the same Haftarah that we read for Yom Tov Sheni of the last day of Pesach, of Achron Shel Pesach. It's kind of an ironic idea that Yom Tov Sheni, which is really a day that we're marking only outside of the land of Israel, coincides the same Haftarah as Yom HaTzma'ut, which is my interpretation, maybe very apropos for the school here. It's a little bit of a hit on the head, you know, a reminder. Okay, we're laying the same type of reading for a day that symbolizes Galut and a day that symbolizes Geula coming together. I'm going to come back to some of the specifics in source number 1. I just took a few excerpts from the Haftarah. And the background of the story is Sancheriv, the leader of the Assyrian Empire, talking in the first time of the first Beit HaMikdash. And Sancheriv is on this mission to conquer the world. And he comes into the land of Israel and he's very successful, and He gets up to Yerushalayim, and if you look in source number one in the first source, this is how the Haftarah begins. Od Hayom Benov, still today, he intends to stand in Nov. He waves his hand toward the mount of the daughter of Tzion, the hill of Yerushalayim. And he's waving victory, and he's waving that he has triumphed, that he has been victorious. And then the Navi goes on, the Navi Yeshayahu goes on to describe the downfall of Sancheirev. And the reason that is suggested why we read this Haftarah at these different moments of the year is not because of this component of the Haftarah, but of what happens in the next Perek, which is the description of the utopia of the future, the final redemption. And if you look, skip down, a shoot shall spring forth from the Choter Mechetzer Yishai, right? A shoot shall spring forth from the stem of Yishai, and a twig shall sprout from his roots. The rebirth of the Jewish people, the rebirth of Am Yisrael throughout history, and as we know, this is obviously very appropriate for Yom HaTzmaut, and the symbol of the final days where we will actually have peace in the world, peace in the land of Israel, and a wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie with the kid, and it goes on, and it describes this beautiful utopia of a world that we all long for. Not just us, but really everyone in the world. We'll come back to talk about this Haftarah in a little bit. Iyar is called Chodesh Ziv in the Navi, in source number 2. It's called Chodesh Ziv because the sun, the Ziv, the sun, is at its height in the month of May, in the month of Iyar. The power of the sun and the beauty of the sun. And what happens in this month is the beginning of the building of the Beit HaMikdash. As you see in source number 2, the book of Malachim Aleph, Perak Vav, and it was in the 480th year after the departure of the children of Israel from Egypt, in the fourth year, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month of Shlomo's reign over Israel, that he did begin to build the house of the Lord. So we have a lot of power in this month, as we already seen. This is a month of healing. This is a month where the sun starts to shine brighter in the sky. It's a month of hope, and there's a lot happening emotionally within our community, both here and both around the world, of course, in Eretz Yisrael. So let's talk a little bit about why this month is so special and what happened in this month. So if you look in source number 4, we have the story of immediately following Yitziat Mitzrayim, Shmoch, Perek Tadvav, chapter 15. The Jewish people are free from the bonds of Mitzrayim. They are traveling past the Yam Suf, traveling now in the desert on their way to receive the Torah at Har Sinai. And we're told that they travel for 3 days and there's no water to drink. And then there's a special miracle that happens. 3 days after the seventh day of Pesach. 3 days after the seventh day of Pesach, day one of Pesach was on a Thursday. So the seventh day was on Wednesday. So this story, that's called Mara, the story of the bitter waters, took place on Shabbat, which is the blessing, the Shabbat that we're blessing the new month of Iyar. And that's where Hashem has this allusion to this month being a month of healing. Where does it come from? It comes from there. Ani Hashem Rofecha. Those words come from source number 4, where Hashem answers the prayers of the Jewish people. He sweetens the waters and they have water to drink. And it's in that context that Hashem blesses the coming month with healing and with refuah. We think about the months of the year. If you look in source number 5, the months of the year, each month of the year has its own tone, has its own emotional connection. And I would say if we took a poll of everybody in the room here, we would probably each pick a different month of the year that we connect to. Some people connect a little bit more to the time of the Chagim at the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the month of Tishrei, which also has Sukkot, Zman Simchatenu. Some might pick Kislev, the holiday of Hanukkah. Some might pick Adar, the month of Purim, all kinds of different emotions and feelings that we get with different months of the year. And we can each identify with more than one, but perhaps with one in particular in our own lives. And it's been suggested by many different writers from the deeper sources. Source number five is just one example. That each month represents a different emanation of spirituality in the world. So if you look, I color-coded it to keep things organized. The 7 months that include pretty much all the holidays that are biblical holidays run from Nisan through Tishrei, which is the time that we're in now. And each month represents a different spiritual emanation, a different spiritual idea or component that kind of identifies what the nature of that month is, what the core of that month is. So let's start with Nisan. Just finished the month of Nisan. Nisan is known as the month of Chesed. Chesed, as I gave a little quote under each month, which kind of represents the month. So we have a quote from the Pesach Haggadah. Ani velo malach. The entire experience of leaving Mitzrayim was completely from Hashem. Was completely an act of chesed from Hashem. If you look in some of the sources we read in the Haggadah, the Jewish people were on such a low level, spiritually. They weren't even really, it wasn't even really appropriate for them to be redeemed. But yet Hashem in His chesed, in His benevolence, redeemed us. So we think of Nisan, we think of the chesed of Hashem. And that's what we celebrate on Pesach in particular. We'll skip Iyar for a moment. We'll come back to Iyar at the end. Let's keep going down the line. The month of Sivan is the month of Matan Torah. The holiday of Shavuot falls in the month of Sivan. And it's the month of Tiferet. Tiferet is a harmonious concept. It's the idea of harmony, but it's also the idea of beauty. From the word pe'er. And what makes the Jewish people beautiful is our Torah. What makes us beautiful is Umi Goy Gadol Asher Lo Chukim Mishpatim. That the world has so much to learn from us and does learn from us. And the month of Sivan represents this idea of Tiferet. If we keep going down, following Sivan, we have the month of Tammuz. The month of Tammuz is the month of Netzach. Netzach means eternity. Netzach is the idea of the infinite. And the truth of the matter is, had we not lost our chance in the month of Tammuz, which we know marks the beginning of the period of the Gimel Shavuot, the 3 weeks that span between the 17th day of Tammuz and the 9th of Av, Shiva Sabra Tammuz, that fast that began the whole process of the destruction of both Batei Mikdash, both temples in Jewish history. The Rambam tells us, based on the Gemara, that Yerushalayim, the sanctity of Yerushalayim is Kidsha Latid Lavo. It has sanctity that's eternal. That means that today, if somebody were to want to go up onto the Har Habayit, onto the Temple Mount, they have to get permission and all kinds of things going on today in Israel with this issue. But to be able to go up there, the floor of that space is still holy. And you can't walk anywhere you want. You can't just be in any spot on that location. Even though there's no Beit HaMikdash. Because the sanctity is Netzach. The sanctity of that place is eternal. And had we only been Zocheh, we wouldn't have to have some other kinds of buildings up there today. We would have the Beit HaMikdash. Continuing on, so Netzach symbolizes Yerushalayim, the whole city of Jerusalem in general. And Hod, which is in the month of Av, represents the Beit HaMikdash itself. So these 2 months, the months of Tammuz and the month of Av, are really the months that were supposed to look very different in our Jewish calendar, and we daven and we pray that one day they will look different. And it's during those months, V'choneng Mikdashcha Mechonoa, as we say every single time we daven Shemona Esrei Musaf on the Shalosh Regalim, that we daven for the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. The Hod, the beauty, the grandeur, the splendor of the Jewish people. We continue on, we get past the summer. Summer's coming to an end. And we get to the month of Elul. The month of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, the month that we prepare for crowning Hashem. The month of Malchut, which is the month of kingship, the month of Tishrei. Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, as we say in the prayers of Rosh Hashanah, Hashem is the King. So we go through this experience, this emotional experience, this roller coaster of emotions, as we begin from Pesach, taking us all the way through the spring and the summer, culminating in the month of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Let's go back to Iyar for a moment. Iyar is Gvura. Iyar is the month of Gvura. And the concept of Gvura is about the human initiative. It's about human creativity. It's about the startup nation in many ways, not just in the modern sense, but in the historical sense. Gvura is not just physical strength, but it's inner courage. Gvura is the inner courage to take action when nobody else is taking action, or when we're called on to act. So if you turn to the back side, I want to share with you one concept of Gvura. Beautiful commentary of Rav Kook on the Siddur. Rav Kook is writing here on the bracha that we say in Shmona Esrei. Second bracha, called Gvurot. The name of the blessing is Gvurot. Gvurot is the blessing about the resurrection, Tchiyat HaMetim. We read this blessing. If anything's going to take Gvura, it's going to be something on that scale. So Rav Kook writes that in Chazal, in the language of the rabbis in the Gemara, the rain that falls down that we daven for, now we're saying Morid HaTal, but in the winter months, we're saying Mashiv HaRuach, Morid HaGeshem, and the language that Chazal use for this experience is Yordin Bigvura. That the rain falls Bigvura. The rain falls with might. Why do Chazal use this terminology to speak about rain? We would think that rain would be representative of chesed. It's the benevolence, it's the blessing that Hashem gives us, the bracha of rain, the chesed of rain. Why is rain, the falling of rain, being referred to as gvura? So Rav Kook, in a beautiful comment here, explains, I'm not going to read it inside, he explains that the gvura is our part of the deal. The rain is only going to fall and enhance and interact and do something with the ground if we take a step first and plant that seed in the ground. We have the gvura to take action, to do something, to encourage that ground to grow, that flower, that plant, that fruit, whatever it is. So it's Yordin Bigvura because it's dependent on us. The rain making a difference in this world is dependent on our input, on our action. So let's take a little journey through history and look at a few moments that took place in the month of Iyar. And each of these moments reflects an act of Gvura on behalf of the Jewish people. So we start with the story that I mentioned earlier in source number 7 in the yellow font, Shmot, chapter 15. He cried out to the Lord, Moshe is davening to Hashem, there's nothing to drink, the people are thirsty, the people are really, really having a hard time. And Hashem said to him, you want the bitter water to become drinkable? You want to fix this water? You have to act. You have to make a difference. Take a piece of wood, throw it into the water, and the water will become sweet. We're in partnership. And Hashem wants to remind us of that at each and every given moment, but especially focused on the moments that the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. The beginning, Hashem said, it was all me. I took you out, I split the sea, miracles, makot. But the minute you're on your own now in the desert, I'm watching over you, of course. There's going to be clouds, there's going to be protection. But this is a partnership. And the way that we move forward as a nation is with Gvura. Even the story of the man in the second box on the right, Shemot chapter 7, chapter 16. Even the story of the man, which we would categorize as a great act of chesed on behalf of Hashem. Hashem is giving us free food from the sky. We don't have to work.
Can all grade 9s please go to room 11? Thank you. That's all grade 9s. Please go to room 11.
We don't have to make any effort on our own. The man just falls from the sky. We walk outside. We pick it up. We go home and we have our breakfast, our lunch and our dinner. Everything's set. Worried about Shabbat, what's going to happen? Double's going to fall on Erev Shabbat. But there is an element of Gvura. The Gvura that's involved in the man is the inner courage. To not go out when Hashem said, don't try to take more. To not try to take more when Hashem said, you will have enough. To not leave it over to the next day when Hashem said, go to sleep with an empty fridge. Because I promise you that it will be there tomorrow. And all you have to do is have faith. But that takes gvura. That takes courage. That takes inner courage to believe that tomorrow the man will fall. And I can go to sleep with an empty fridge. Not recommending anybody try this at home. And then just shortly after that, Amalek arrives on the scene in the third box in source number 7. And they don't wait for a miracle. They don't wait for some lightning bolt to come out of the sky or some special weapon to just destroy Amalek in one blink of an eye. Moshe says to Yoshua, Bechor lanu anashim, pick men for us and go out and fight Amalek. The Gvura, according to the Midrash of Koach Iyar, the 28th day of Iyar, which we will mark later this month as Yom Yerushalayim. Perhaps the birth of the first Tzva Hagana Yisrael, which I know there are some people in the room who have children serving. So the birth of that army was generations ago. And repeated again at the beginning of the book of Bamidbar, in the second year in the desert, Moshe begins the count to found the first army of Israel. The Lord spoke to Moshe on the first day of the second month, I'm in the fourth box, from 20 years old and upward, all who are fit to go out to the army in Israel. That took place in the month of Iyar, the month of Gvura. Those are moments from our Torah. Those are moments from our first few weeks of freedom where Hashem said, you have to participate in the destiny of your future. You have to participate in what your future will look like. But there were also moments of Gvura in recent history. Source number 8, we're told of the tragic death of 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. And there are different interpretations. The Gemara shares with us one interpretation. There was an issue of interpersonal relationships that broke down. But there's another approach, which is suggested by a number of early sources. And it has its authority in these early sources. That these 24,000 students died fighting in the battle against the Roman Empire with Bar Kokhba. This is quoted here in the Eitz Yosef on the left side, 19th century scholar, commentary on the Midrash, and he says that they died in the war of Bar Kokhba between Pesach and Shavuot. And of course, the Kehilat HaKodesh, Amasru Nafsham al Kedushat Hashem, who we mention every time we read the Av HaRachamim prayer and right before Musaf on Shabbat, and it's during this time of the year, mentioned here, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav on the right side in source 8. We bless the month of Iyar and Sivan. We recite Av HaRachamim. Usually, Birkat HaChodesh is past Shabbat. Birkat HaChodesh, it's a joyous time. We're blessing a new month. When it comes to the Birkat HaChodesh, it takes place during Sfirat HaOmer, which is this time of the year. We recite Av HaRachamim, which is a very mournful, very dirge type of tefillah. It's a sad tefillah. And we mention in that tefillah, Kihilot HaKodesh, the holy communities of Jews throughout history, Shemasru Nafsham HaKadushat Hashem, who gave up their lives so as not to have to convert to another religion. And because those tragedies took place during this time of the year, specifically the Crusades of 1096 in Worms, Mainz, and Spire. Close to 12,000 Jews were killed in those Crusades. And the Jews said, our religion is more important. And they weren't willing to give up their values and their beliefs. So they died al Kiddush Hashem. Gvura. Talk about Gvura. It's all during this month of the year. There are three stages of refuah, three stages of healing. The first stage, the person is ill, is completely dependent upon the doctors to be checking up constantly. The next stage, the person is healing and they need a restoration. So you don't have to have the doctors checking on you every minute, but you like to have the doctors coming in every now and then to make sure. Finally, the doctors say, next time you call for the doctor, he won't necessarily be available or around to help, to enable the person to walk around. The doctor can see from afar to make sure that that person is making progress.
Can all students please go to their period 2 classes? Period 2 is now starting. Thank you.
At Mara, we had these bitter waters. The water was bitter and Hashem wasn't going to perform a miracle. The water should become sweet. There was a need to take action and throw in that piece of wood. And it's on that Shabbat that we bless Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha. Then Iyar comes, the man fell down. It's a great gift from Hashem, it's great chesed. But it's also gvura. So we go through this time of year. This time of gvura. Of different moments, of different slices of history. Where we see Jews time and time again. Standing up for what they believe in. Being proud to be Jews and even having to die, al Kiddush Hashem. Of course, not to mention Yom HaShoah last week that we marked. So Rav Kook, in a pitgam, in a motto for the month of Iyar, you see it there near the bottom of the page. He said, Hagvura ha'ila'a, shel tamidei Rabbi Akiva. The great, open, public fight of Gvura, that the students of Rabbi Akiva took the initiative to fight on behalf of the cause against the Romans. V'hatzvuna shel kedoshei hakeilot, and here he's referring to those holy Jews during the Middle Ages who gave up their lives rather than to convert. That was a hidden Gvura. That was a tzvuna. It was a Gvura tzvuna. But each of these joins together, mitchabrot yachad, be'otzar harazim shel Rashbi, with reference to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, who later this month, Lag BaOmer, we also mark his moment of Gvura, as he went away to a cave to learn Torah and to found all of the deepest secrets of our Torah and the authorship of the Zohar HaKadosh. So it is Hey Iyar, which is in a few days from now. We say Hallel. Some people thought the day should be the end. Some people thought the day of Yom HaTzmut should be set on the end of the War of Independence. But it wasn't to be that way. And the reason for that is because the temporary council, there wasn't yet an official government, was sitting in Tel Aviv on Erev Shabbat, and they were waiting for someone. They were waiting for Golda Meir. Golda Meir had gone on a mission to meet with King Abdullah in Jordan on May 10th, 1948, 4 days before the official establishment of Medina Israel. Golda Meir traveled to Amman, Jordan, disguised as an Arab woman for a secret meeting with the king, King Abdullah I, Transjordan then it was, and she urged him not to join the other Arab countries. I have it here in the last source in the page. When an envoy was needed later that year to ward off imminent war, okay, when the king requested that Israel not hurry to declare statehood, she famously replied, we have been waiting for 2,000 years. Is that hurrying? Israel had 600,000 people. Many were Nitzolei Shoah, survivors of the Holocaust. Ud Mutzalim Me'esh, as it says in the Navi. Abdullah warned that if the Jews established the state, within an hour, there would be no more state of Israel. With chutzpah, with gvura, with courage, the state was established. Only a few years after the crematory in Europe had been burning full force, only those who endured one can fully appreciate the other. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook would say that the Hallel of Yom HaTzma'ut was not in the miracle of the war, but it was on the gvura, on the audacity, on the chutzpah to establish a state at that time. The Hallel of Iyar is the return to what the month of Iyar really represents. So let's go back to Saba Yosef. Saba Yosef endured the hell of the Shoah, and he described how he came to a certain camp which had a pit in it. They threw 900 children in that pit from an orphanage, and his role in the camp was to burn the bodies. And he decided at that moment he wasn't going to have any more children. He made a promise. Years passed, the war was over. He met another woman who had also sworn to not have any children because of an experience in a different camp. They were married in Tirat Zvi, with no family. So their friends filled in as their family. So someone once asked him, "What was your most difficult day?" And he said he didn't want to answer. Not because he didn't have a difficult day, but because no one would really understand. One time, one day, he gave in. And he said, "I told you you wouldn't understand. My most difficult day was liberation." The person looked at him confused. "Liberation? It's the day of your freedom." He said, "I told you you wouldn't understand." The prisoners stood at the camp entrance he described from all different countries, and the Americans came in to liberate the camp, and they started to announce who is looking to return to Belgium. And the Belgians stood up. "Who's looking to return to France?" And it went on like this for a few moments. I had a quote somewhere. It was on a page in the room. Remember where it is? Yeah, you have it?
Just found this last week.
And they asked this man, Saba Yosef, where he would like to go. It was the first time in his life that he thought that Hitler had won. Then because he had nowhere to go. Then he finished and said, "I told you you wouldn't understand. Ata yeled shel hamedina." He was talking to a person who had been born post establishment of the state of Israel. This quote, this story reminded me of a quote from Chana Senesh, who said, "There is one place in the world which you do not escape, nor do you immigrate. You come home, the land of Israel." And Saba Yosef, who stood at the gates of liberation, he brought us to the Gvura of 1948. And 19 years later, we arrived in Yerushalayim on the 28th day of Iyar, 1967. The month of Iyar is really a generation. It represents a generation. And it's a generation that we have responsibility to continue its power and its strength and its inspiration. On Yom HaTzma'ut, return to the Haftarah that we're going to read this Thursday, we read not only of the Choter, this little sprout, this little tiny bud that's coming out of the ground, that's coming out of this stump, but the essence of Od HaYom Benov, as I mentioned earlier, it's discussing Ashur and Sancheirev, just before Ashur exiles the tribes of Israel. Ravsaka, the general of Ashur, stands on the walls of Jerusalem, and he tries to strike fear among the citizens of Yerushalayim, and the king, king at the time, his name was Chizkiyahu, he closes Yerushalayim, and he calls for Gvura. The emperor continues to conquer city after city with great speed. He stands above Yerushalayim and he waves his hand over Tzion and Yerushalayim, just as the Arab armies promised to drive us into the sea. Chizkiyahu stood up with Gvura and said, "We will not back down." Then Sancheirib was beaten. 185 soldiers of his army were destroyed around Yerushalayim. Sancheirib ran away. And that was the end of that story. So this month, we have a great opportunity. An opportunity of Rosh Hashanah. Of a new year. Of a new year for the state of Israel. Of a new year for the Jewish people. 68 years. And it happens in Chodesh Iyar. It cannot be a coincidence that it fell out this way. That those Jews who stood in Tel Aviv in Independence Hall at that moment in time made a decision, despite the threats, despite the danger, to establish on that day Medinat Yisrael. So the blessing of the month of Iyar, the blessing of this this new year for Am Yisrael, should be the blessing of Iyar, which is the blessing of Refuah, no more pain, no more sadness, but also the blessing of Gvura, the blessing of the courage to take action, the courage to not be afraid. Because when we show that we're afraid, that's when we lose. But when we have the Gvura to reestablish and refound and recommit ourselves to those great values, then we can merit the blessing of Chana Senesh. There's one place in the world to which you do not escape, nor do you immigrate. You come home, the land of Israel. Chodesh Tov.